think it's so easy to very quickly get caught up and spend 80% of your time or more likely, on things that actually aren't the things that are the most important pieces of your business.
Welcome to Small Business BS, the podcast designed to ignite your entrepreneurial spirit through thought-provoking ideas and actionable business strategies. Each week, entrepreneurs Adam Whitmer and Jeff Gargis dive into creative marketing hacks, proven sales methods, and clever growth strategies. Get ready to unlock the full potential of your business with insights that are both fun and impactful. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Gargis and Adam Whitmer.
Welcome to episode 39 of the Small Business BS Podcast. I'm Adam Whitmer, and I'm here with my co-host, Jeff Gargis. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about the 80-20 rule. 80-20 rule is something that I found extremely helpful in business and in my personal life. And it's something I think that's worth talking about, Jeff. Before we got started, we said that the 80-20 rule can help to get rid of perfectionism and it can help make money. For me, those are two things that were just huge in my business career for the 80-20 rule. But before we do that, can you start by giving us just an overview of what is the 80-20 rule, if I've not heard of it? I think most people have, but what would you define the 80-20 rule as for our discussion purposes today?
So I actually pulled it up because you know me, I like to pull up and see what Google tells me it is. So Google says the 80-20 rule, it states that roughly 80% of effects come from 20% of causes, right? So a lot of ways we can look at that, right? 20% of your customers often generate 80% of your revenue. 20% of your daily tasks should be produced to 80% of the valuable results or your outcomes. 20% of your products accounted for 80% of your sales. So I think there's a lot of ways to do that. 20% of your marketing channels may generate 80% of your leads. I think for me, when I think of the 80-20 is like, I think about the fact that like 20% of what I do needs to produce 80% of what I want, whether that's sales, content, whatever. And then there's that little bit of 20% that can be, that's not producing all of it, I guess, in a sense. I think also I go to actually, oddly enough, using Google. Google used, like Gmail is one of the things that came out of Google using their 80-20, where they said, hey, 80% of your time is on productivity and projects and things we're doing, but take 20% of your time and create new stuff. So they ensured that they were getting the majority of their productivity from their crew was 80% of it was towards what they knew was working, but they let that 20% kind of explore and be used in other things, and then you get some value from there. But that's what Google says. Prior to us hitting record, you actually told me the reason we want to talk about this is because you talk about this a lot. I've heard you talk about it a lot. This is not something that I talk about a lot, but you do. And you literally specifically mentioned it in a mastermind that you were just in, that I'm typically in, but was not in today, which is whatever. I'll give myself the crap for that since you already gave it before.
Sure.
So I actually like I know our typical format is Adam introduces what we're going to talk about. He flips it to me. I give a little thing and then we go. But I really want to flip this back to you because I want to hear the story, because I think in the context of a story like that, like a real life situation where you were like, ooh, 80-20 makes sense here. Let me help you. I think it'll resonate with people, and I think they'll be able to put themselves in the position of the friend of ours that we're not going to name today and where they were at. I think so many people listen are going to go, ooh, I've literally been there. Like, I get it. And so I'm actually flipping the mic back to you, my friend. So one, tell me how on or off is Google in your mind, and then if you can share that story with us, and I think we can vamp from there.
Yeah, no, that's great. So how on or off is Google? Google's close. I mean, the 80-20 rule can be applied so many different ways. But for me, in the context of business and for personal life, really, the way I think of it is a way to prioritize. It's a method of prioritization. This is really what the 80-20 rule is. It's how do I focus on the most important things? And it's really the concept of the low-hanging fruit. So, you know, you think about the low-hanging fruit is something we talk about. You know, if you're getting started on a project, go with the low-hanging fruit. What is low-hanging fruit? Well, that's the fruit that you can harvest without getting a ladder and climbing up in the tree. It's the stuff that's easy to deal with and easy to do. And so that's what I think of the 80-20 rule is is oftentimes either low-hanging fruit or a method of prioritization. And so for me, you know, I first got exposed to the 80-20 rule when I was a perfectionist. And, you know, when I was a perfectionist, I wanted to do everything right, to do it to the nth degree, to make sure that every I was dotted, every T was crossed. And for those of us who believe in excellence and are driven towards doing things perfectly, it can hold us back, and it can literally be bondage that keeps us from moving forward. And so what I found myself doing was I would spend all this time on things that didn't matter at all. And I was not focusing on the things that were important. Now, I would get things done, but what was happening is I was sacrificing my personal life because I was spending all this time in my job to dot every I, cross every T, and get every part of my job to 100%, when 100% wasn't the bar of expectation. It wasn't necessary. But that's where my perfectionism thought it had to be. And so I quickly realized that the expectation wasn't 100%. So I needed to learn to dial it back. And by dialing it back, I started to see that I was getting things done quicker. And when I started focusing on the 20% of tasks that got me 80% of the results, I had 80% of my time back with 20% of the effort. And so that's where I started to see this was in the world of perfectionism. Now, when I started my business as a side hustle, I was working a full-time job. I was, you know, my wife and I were homeschooling our kids. She was doing most of it, but our kids were at home and we were very active parents. And I was starting a business on the side. And I said to myself, how am I ever going to make money as a perfectionist trying to do these tasks? And so what I started to do was apply the 80-20 rule to making money. And so I would go through this filter of everything that I did. I would sit down before the week started and said, what 20% of tasks could get me 80% of revenue? And so I was really focused on what can make me money today. And so I really started my business with 80-20 rule of how can I spend 20% of the time and get 80% of the way there? And because I knew in my business as a side hustle and a very active father and husband in my family that there was no way I could give 100% effort. I couldn't even give 80% effort. What I could do was give 20% effort. That's what I had time for. And so I wanted to figure out how to get the biggest bang for my buck. And so the 20% effort, I focused on the things that would get me 80% of the results. And so that was my focus. That's how I interpret the 80-20 rule. Is that what you were thinking, Jeff?
Yeah, no, and I love the connection to the perfectionism there, because I think we can, even people who don't necessarily think that they maybe are perfectionists, but just are really concerned with how things look and the trying to get as it's not quite polished enough, et cetera, et cetera. We so often get caught up in these things that end up taking so much of our time, but they're not actually producing what we ultimately want, right? And so I think it's so easy to very quickly get caught up and spend 80% of your time or more likely, on things that actually aren't the things that are the most important pieces of your business. We've recently gone through this over the last probably 24 months now, give or take, with Teach Better, not necessarily doing the 80-20 rule by, you know, using that, but that's what we did, right? We looked at everything we were doing because we were doing a lot of things. We had grown our team really big. We were really broad. We were doing all sorts of things, and we had to go, okay, what's actually like leading to revenue right now? What's actually leading to impact when we're trying to impact teachers and therefore impact students? And I don't know the percentage, but like my guess is I bet it's 20% or less of what we were doing. It's probably less, probably 10% of what we were doing was actually producing what we actually wanted. So when you shift that and you go, okay, well, so the 80% is expendable essentially in a lot of ways, not always. Some of it actually does help, but like if we couldn't align it directly to producing revenue or producing the impact results that we wanted, it had to go. And much like you, what we realized is like, wow, we got a lot of time back. Which actually allowed us to now be a little more perfectionist on things that we were doing, right? We could put a little more effort into them. We could tighten them up a little bit. We could focus on the quality a little bit more because we had freed up so much time. So I love that you connected that to your the perfectionism. And I love that you said that you used to be a perfectionist. I love that. That was my favorite part when you first started with this, is you aren't anymore. I love that, because you realize that, one, it's very hard to do 100% and do everything 100%, but also it's very rarely necessary. Just the reality of it. It's pretty much unrealistic, first off, but it's also not usually necessary. So, no, I love that. So I'm with you. I'm probably going to start using it more now that I have more clarification on how you look at that. I really love that approach. Tell me about the, like, so you were a mastermind. So I know this person that you're talking about. I know where they're at in their business and kind of one of the current challenge that they're going through and what they're trying to accomplish. So this is like one, I think this would be good for this episode, but also I'm genuinely curious of the conversation and where they ended up with the conversation. Can you kind of give us the summarized version of what this conversation was about and how you led them to where hopefully is a better state than when they entered the meeting?
Yeah, absolutely. So the conversation was just it's really a rebrand for a major product of this person's business. So this person has a product that's well known, that's got a certain name and it's tied to a certain third party. And so this person's looking to do a rebrand and is feeling overwhelmed. And it's a big change. Whenever you do a rebrand on a site and have to redo things you've already done before, and it's just really, it's rework that doesn't bring any value, but it's part of the big picture strategy of where you need to go, it's annoying and it's not fun. It's not exciting. And so I think a bit of this conversation was the person was feeling overwhelmed. And so my point was, you don't have to get 100% of this. In fact, you only need to do 20% of the things that bring 80% of the effort, because that will get you started. Because our fear as a perfectionist is that we have to get all of our ducks in a row before we launch and before we rebrand in this specific case. And so I encourage this person to just do 20% of the effort and then give yourself a timetable, maybe a whole nother year to clean up the other 80%. Because yeah, you probably do want to clean it up if it's a rebrand, but to get started, it's probably not necessary. So just using the 80-20 rule to start thinking about prioritization and what activities need to be done. Now, Jeff, the power of the 80-20 rule, it's really interesting, because I don't know if anybody's ever told you this before, but let's talk about the 80-20 rule and let's even narrow it down further. So when you think about the 80-20 rule, what we're talking about is 100, we'll start with 100%, right? So we got 100%, and 80% of 100 is what? It's 80. And 20% of 100 is what? It's 20. So if we do 20% effort, we get 80%. Now, let's say that 20% is left. What if we want to apply the 80%, the 80-20 rule to that remaining 20%? That knocks us down to 4%, right? So we're at 20, divide that out by 20%, and you have 4. Now take the 80%, knock that down to 80%, and what you end up with is 4% of your effort gets you 64% of the results. So when you apply the 80-20 rule, 20% of the effort gets you 80% of the results, but of that 20% effort, 4% of the effort gets you 64%. Of the results. And so we don't even have to do 20% of the work. We can focus on 4% to get 64% of the results. And so this is where prioritization really comes into play. And in your business, it's probably true. And in my business, it's true. What happens is, when I look at my profitability of my customers, I literally, out of 100 customers, there's 4 that are driving 64% of the revenue. And you can use this in sales to understand who those 4 customers are and make sure they're happy. Make sure that you're serving their needs. And then look at the remaining 16 of them to get the 20%. But there is usually a drop off where there's a couple of top customers, then there's a handful of key customers, and then it's further down. So the 80-20 rule applies even further down than 80-20. So what are your thoughts on that, Jeff?
Well, I was thinking, it was interesting you're saying about the customers. Now I'm looking because I'm curious. But so it was actually a few years back that we realized that. We're like, wow, like there's these 2 or 3 clients that really make up, you know, so it was more like, it was like they made up like 75%. And we actually decided then, we're like, we don't ever want anyone to be more than 20% so that we're not relying on anyone. However, the reality is that this just doesn't always play that way, right? Especially if you sell, we sell high ticket services, obviously. So like the jump can be really extreme, right? Between from a small school that needs a, you know, a couple little things to a big district that wants the full package. Like that's a massive jump, which creates that. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I'm actually looking because I do run this, and actually no one's even at 20%, which is good. So it's I'm going against that. The reality is like, it is true, right? Now we made the decision. We didn't want to do that because then if you lose a client, it hurts worse. But back to your point though, most likely in most things, there's a group of clients or a group of products or services that are probably around that 10-20% that make up the majority of your revenue. And those are either, Adam was saying clients and people that they serve, but it's also potentially your products or your service or your marketing channels or your whatever inner anything else, your content creation, like all those things you can apply this to and go, okay, well, this one thing is generating all of like 50, 60, 70% of all the value I'm getting from that, whether that's sales, whether that's leads, whether that's followers, whatever you're measuring. And I think it still applies there. You, when you run this again, you're going to notice that it's almost always the case that it's very close to that percentage wise. So, I was looking out. We're doing a pretty good job staying away from that though. So we're atypical in that sense, but yeah, well, I know what you're saying. I'm with you. Yes.
It's a whole framework for strategic planning, because when you start thinking about it from an 80-20 perspective, you start to realize that 20% of your customers bring 80% of the revenue. And so while you might be dealing with thousands and thousands of customers, you only need to really focus in on that small percentage that's bringing in the revenue to help you understand what direction the money is coming from and what direction you should be focusing the core of your business. And so,
the same thing for just all your efforts in general. Like it's going to be there. And I love that for prioritization, because again, we get so overwhelmed with all the things we need to do. And we had all these ideas and created all these things, but the reality is it's that small little percentage that actually needs your attention and actually demands and or deserves your stress and your anxiety and your effort and your energy, right? So,
right. And Jeff, I don't normally do this, but I've got a friend, Mark Sieverkrop, who I've been friends with for a long time. He wrote a book called Find Your 20. And the whole point of that book, and it's a quick read, you can pretty much read it in one setting. But the whole point of the book is to help business owners and entrepreneurs find that 20 in their business. And so he goes through a number of questions and steps in this quick read in his book that's on Amazon to help business owners think through, what is my 20%? What's the core of my business that brings me the 80% of the results? And so as our listeners are out there, I just wanted to give a plug for Mark's book. I've read it. Like I said, a quick read, but it does really get you thinking about the 80-20 rule and how to apply it to strategic planning and to apply it to your businesses. So the book is called Find Your 20. If you search it in Amazon, you should be able to find it. The tag is The Six-Figure Business Owner's Guide to More Focus, Greater Results, and More Time. So
I love that. Because it's such a powerful exercise to go through that. And if that book's, it sounds like he just basically walks you through all the questions to ask yourself to get there, right?
Yeah, he
does.
Powerful.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
So it's called Find Your 20. Say his name again.
Mark Sieverkrop.
Mark Sieverkrop.
Spelling it's tough. So Sieverkrop is Sieverkrop. So
you'll recognize that 20, when you see it. Yeah. Find Your 20. You'll see the name.
Find Your 20. Yeah. Awesome. There's a picture of a magnifying glass, but it's very cool. It's a great book. And I've had some discussions with Mark over the years. I mean, I love the concept of the 80-20 rule, because so often times we do get so far in the forest that we can't see the trees.
Yeah.
And so we have to be able to take that step back. And so, you know, on his book, he's got a picture of a magnifying glass. And, you know, the thing is, we get into the weeds in our business, but are we getting into the right weeds? Are we focusing on that 20%, or are we focusing on things that are not going to benefit us for the results? Yeah. The reality is, I don't want to spend 90 hours a week on my business. I don't want to spend 100 hours a week on my business. I want to have time for my family. I want to have time for other things. And frankly, if I have enough time left, I'm going to start another business. That's the way I work. But so my whole philosophy has been this 80-20 rule, and not everybody wants to do that. Some people want to dive into something and that be their lifestyle. that's wonderful for a lot of people. But if you're looking to free up time, the 80-20 rule is one of the best ways to do that.
I agree. And I want to note one thing, just because we keep saying 80-20 rule, because that's the rule. But like, you may go through this process and realize it's not 80-20. It's the 60-40. It's 75-25. It's 93-7. Like, whatever. The power is in the process of taking back. I love the magnifying glass, right? And going, okay, what is actually generating the things that are important to my business? What's actually doing this? And again, like we mentioned, you can do this in all aspects of your business so that you can go, okay, so then maybe I don't need to do that stuff, or at least I don't need to stress about it anymore. I can still do that part that's not in there, but I don't need to stress. I only need to stress about this 20% or this 10% or this 22% or whatever that ends up being. The power in doing that is, like, especially like you talk about, like, strategic planning, laying out goals, laying out, like, when you're trying to, like, if you're into calendar blocking or you know, that type of stuff, like, really laying out, like, how am I going to find the harmony in my life here? This is a really, really powerful exercise, even if most likely it doesn't come out to exactly 80-20. It was funny, like, as you were thinking, I actually thought about this one time. I had a conversation with someone who was, like, confused by the fact that it, like, they thought it had to be 20. I'm like, it's not always 20. Like, it might be 19.2. I'm pretty sure that's the averages of the studies they did then when they initially came up with it. So the purpose of it, the actual powers is in the exercise of thinking through this and taking that step back. I love that you said that we're always in the weeds, but are we in the right weeds? So right. Make sure you're in the right weeds, and you can't do that without stepping up and going above the weeds so you can look and see what all those weeds are. I feel like I'm getting a little too far into the weeds of using the weeds concept. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, you can use your data to get in the weeds and understand, yeah, you know, where your sales are coming from. So, you know, if you're a gardener and you've got a gardening website and you're selling products on how to make your grass green, how to prune trees, and how to aerate your soil. And you see, you've got classes for all of those, but all your sales are coming from how to make your grass green. Does it make sense to keep making classes on trees? Probably not. And the data will tell you that. And so, especially if you're wanting to boost sales for a quarter or for a year, you focus in on that area that you know is bringing you the majority of the results. And so, you know, just by offering another class on how to make your grass greener, or how to make your grass green in a southern climate, or how to make your grass green during a drought, which could involve throwing down a temporary annual rye crop that's going to die off, but it'll help grow and keep it green during the drought months. And then you reseed back in the spring. There's just the idea is that you can figure out what to focus on by looking at your data and seeing where the data is driving you to know where to put the time first. And so that's the idea behind the 80-20 rule, at least on how I like to apply it to business.
I think about 80% of our audience just learned that Adam is a minor league grass expert as well. So
for the summer of 2025,
you spent a lot of time. I know why you are
spending a lot of time putting it on and watering grass so I didn't have to pay somebody to do it.
All right. I think that's a great place to end it right there.
So, that is wonderful. Yeah. That's the BS part of our portion.
Yeah, you did it. I love it perfectly. Let's take them out.
So, all right. Thank you all for joining us. That's all we have for this episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. For more information on this episode and other episodes, go to smallbusinessbs.com. Until next time, have fun, be strategic, and get out there and grow not your grass, but your business. We'll see you all next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and share it with fellow entrepreneurs. Until next time, keep thinking big and taking action in your business, one step at a time.